We're live to Beirut, where Hezbollah Secretary General said Hassan Nasrallah is delivering his speech. Let's go watch.
May peace be upon our Prophet Abu al-Qasim Muhammad. May peace be upon his family. May peace be upon his friends. May peace be upon all of the prophets. And may peace be upon you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On this day, we meet and our aim is very clear. We are meeting here, we are gathering here to announce our solidarity and our standing side by side in support of the people of Egypt, in support of the youngsters of Egypt. And before, we stood side by side with the people of Tunisia and the youngsters of Tunisia. However, before I speak about some of the very, very necessary points, and I am very keen and intent on not taking so much of your time and not repeating what was said by those who spoke before me, because they spoke about very important points and spoke in a good way. At the beginning, I would like to speak to the people of Tunisia, and now to speak to the people of Egypt. I'd like to apologize to them because we were late. We were a few days late in announcing this stance, not because we are hesitant, not because we are confused about what stance to take, not because of any confusion. We in the Lebanese parties, and these Lebanese parties have a history of resistance, of legitimate resistance against the Zionist American project in Lebanon and in the region. We cannot stand isolated, cannot stand as if we have nothing to do with what is going on when the battle is between good and evil. However, we are intent and we are very keen that you are not accused, and you have been accused, by the way. We delayed announcing this stance because we were afraid you might be accused of something. If this movement, if this announcement of solidarity and support would have been made, of course, now let me speak about Egypt. Tunisia has overcome the confrontation to a high extent. Let me speak about Egypt. It would have said that those who are protesting in the Liberation Square, those protesters in the cities of Egypt, they would have said that these protesters are being moved and controlled by cells under the control of Hezbollah or Hamas. They would have said Hezbollah and Hamas are controlling. The protesters or the Iranian Revolutionary Guards are controlling the protesters. This is what they would have said if we had announced our stance of solidarity before. And hence this movement would have been transformed into an accused. They would have been accused that they are serving a foreign agenda. And we have a very, very painful experience with the regime in Egypt, because when one of our Hezbollah members, and he was one Hezbollah member by the way, when he was detained, and he was detained after he was cooperating with some Egyptian and Palestinian people in order to serve our people in Gaza, he was helping and assisting the people of Gaza. And after that, after they were detained, it was named the Hezbollah cell, and they were accused of trying to overthrow the regime in Egypt. This Hezbollah member and his Palestinian Egyptian colleagues were accused of overthrowing the Egyptian regime and trying to create Shia, trying to convert people into Shia into Egypt. You all remember the actor who was only there with some Egyptians assisting the people providing Gaza to Gaza. So we, this reason, so that by Hezbollah or Hamas or by etc. The very beginning days with many of our Egyptian colleagues who are now down in the arena, and they also advise us to be hesitant, because everyone knows that Egypt is very sensitive when it comes to such issues, meaning that when someone in Egypt is listening to someone from the outside, whoever this outside player is, even if he supports, even if he shows solidarity, even if he is a brother, someone who calls for righteousness, or even if someone is suspected of intervening in the Egyptian internal situation, there is a special sensitivity here. And so we wanted to be very careful regarding this. Today, everything has ended. In the last few days, I heard on some official television stations of the Egyptian regime and some figures close to the regime, we heard the same rhetoric which we feared we might hear. However, all of these accusations will fall against the will of the Egyptians and the movement of the Egyptians. Today, we announce our solidarity. And one way of announcing this solidarity is to defend this revolution and to defend this uprising, to defend this historic popular movement, this great historic popular movement. And one of the responsibilities in order to defend this revolution is to show its real image, to reveal its real image. And all factors point to the reality of this image. Sometimes we speak about our aspirations, our hopes, our dreams, what we expect, and other times we speak according to certain theories which we know, and at other times we call the those who are down on the ground, in the arena, on the streets. We call the young and old and we talk to them and what they have to say. We listen to their slogans. We listen to what they are saying. We listen to their anthems. We listen to their words. We listen to what the satellite showing. We listen to what the media is showing. We are listening to their communications. Who is capable of explaining to us the reality of the situation, the real essence of what is going on? Nature and the aim and the hopes of this revolution, of this uprising. With the time that I have, I would like to do some of my duty on behalf of you, and I would like to explain the public opinion who is listening to me, I would like to explain to this public opinion who is allowed to listen to me, to clarify some of these issues, some of these regarding this historic revolution. We are witnessing a revolution, a real Egyptian revolution. Muslims and Christians, this revolution. Also, we have Islamic factions, we have secular parties, we have intellectuals, different factions from various walks, and all different and sectors of the Egyptian people are participating. Men, women, children, the elderly, religious clerics, intellectuals, laborers, farmers. However, the most important in this presence is the presence of the youngsters is the most important presence. Angle, we are witnessing revolution. Second of all, this revolution, it is a result of the will of this people and the determination of this people, the commitment of this people. These people are the ones who are protesting. They are sacrificing martyrs. They are sacrificing their wounded. They are sleeping outside in this very, very bad cold weather. And they are announcing what they want. They are announcing what they want to do. They are announcing where they want to reach. They are saying what regime they want, what type of order they want, what type of solution they will agree to. They own the decision making in everything they say and everything they do and everything they look forward to. And all of the accusations of being part of a foreign agenda, whatever be this foreign party, whether it be an enemy of Egypt or a friend of Egypt, all these accusations will fall, and they have fallen in front of the great will of the Egyptian people and its courageous youngsters. And this is what I will come back to very soon. Number three, the fundamental part of this revolution and this uprising, is it an uprising, a revolution to eat bread because the people are hungry, or is it to reach social equality and social justice, or is it in order to reach freedom and democracy, or is it a revolution for political reasons? Does it have something to do with the policies, the foreign policies of our current regime and Egypt's stance in the region and in the Ummah and in the world? We heard a lot of explanations, we heard a lot of analysis, and everybody is trying to analyze in one certain direction. And the friends of Israel and America, the intellectuals and the political leaders and media outlets close to America and Israel, they want to convince the world that what is going on now is a revolution just to eat bread, a revolution because the people are hungry. The truth, which we can say to the whole world, is that those who are protesting in Liberation Square, those who are protesting in Egypt, their slogans, their blood, and their smiles, and their anger, and their stances, they say the following. They say the truth, which is that this revolution is about all of us. It's about their anger, their smiles, their blood, their sacrifices. And this means that we are witnessing a complete revolution in its essence, in its fundamental part. It is the revolution of the poor people. It is a revolution of the freedom-loving people. It is a revolution of the students of freedom. It is a revolution of those who reject to be humiliated and insulted. Because this is what the country, the people of this country have been subject to, because it surrendered its will to America and Israel. This is a political, humanitarian, social revolution. It is a revolution on everything, against everything, corruption, oppression, hunger, eating away the capabilities of the country and the policies of the regime in the Arab-Israeli conflict. Number four. It is the duty, it is a duty to express solidarity in Egypt's popular revolution, and it is a noble revolution. And we cannot say that this revolution is accused of this or that. For example, we hear some accusations. One of the worst accusations which we heard from the very beginning, and we also heard this in the Tunisian revolution as well, these accusations were made by certain figures in our Arab world. They said that these revolutions are the creation of the American administration, and that the American intelligence services and the Pentagon and the State Department, the U.S. State Department, they are the ones who are behind these popular movements, and they push these people down to protest, and they are cooperating with these youngsters, and they are the ones who are leading and controlling this revolution. These are some accusations which we have heard. On this day, the Day of Solidarity, we must say this is an unjust way to speak to these youngsters. Any Muslim, Arab, or freedom-loving person anywhere in the world cannot think in this way, cannot think in this way about the people of Tunisia or the people of Egypt. Anyone who thinks in this way is behaving in an unjust way. This is an unjust way to speak, and this is an insult to the minds and the will and the vigilance and the culture and the understanding of these people and of these youngsters. Is there any one of us who can believe that America is coming or deliberately trying to overthrow a regime which is meeting all the demands of the American administration, a regime who is nobly answering and who is nobly protecting America's interest and protecting America's project in the region? So in light of this, can we believe that the Americans are behind these protests? This is illogical. If we listen to the Americans, and I will speak about the Israelis, but let's speak about the Americans first. If we hear what the American leaders say, figures from the both parties, Democratic and Republican Party, and what they said, and the good talk they had to say about the leader of the regime, and what they mentioned, the services provided by the current regime, the strategic services provided by the current regime for the American project in the region, in light of this, can anyone logically believe that America is the one which is evaluating and understanding America, which understands this regime in this way, can we believe that it is actually attempting to overthrow this regime? The same language we heard in 1979. During the Islamic Revolution of Iran, a lot was said at that time. They said that America is controlling the revolution in Tehran and in Mashhad and Isfahan and Tabriz. And they said that Imam Khomeini is part of the CIA, is a member of the CIA. Of course, he was someone who was subject to oppression, to injustice. People said he was a member of the CIA. Others said he was a member of this group. Some say America was controlling the revolution in Iran in order to impose on the Shah more concessions and more benefits to America. And some used to say that the Soviet Union, which was formerly the Soviet Union at that time, 1979, was controlling the revolution in Iran because the Soviet Union wanted to overthrow the American-backed regime and wanted to take advantage of natural resources near Iran or in Iran. After decades of time, is that Imam Khomeini was the Imam who was committed, a nationalist committed person, an Islamic person who was committed to his people and to his Ummah and his history and the aspirations of this Ummah. And this is the same. The same goes for Tunisia today. The same goes for the people of Egypt and the youngsters of Egypt today. Yes. The Americans are trying to get on the wave. They are trying to board the wave. They are trying to take advantage of the revolution. They are trying to curb this revolution. They are trying to improve their ugly image in our Arab and Islamic world. And they are trying to present themselves as if they defend the people, as if they defend the rights and will and freedom of the people. After decades have passed, whereby the Americans completely supported one of the worst dictatorships, or the worst dictatorship which we witnessed in our region. This is the big danger. This is the most important danger which we must focus on. People must all be vigilant towards this matter. All the resistance movements must be vigilant towards this issue. My dear brothers and sisters, at the very beginning, and for many years have passed, and we read this in the newspapers, in the magazines, in the books, and we also look at this, we witness this on the TV screens, and by the movement which we see in American universities, academic universities. In many Islamic countries, the American administration did a lot, made a lot of studies and a lot of opinion polls in our region, especially in the Arab and Islamic world. And America wanted to know, what is the direction of the opinion? How do people think here? What is the direction of thinking? What do they reject? What do they accept? What do they look forward to? And the results were very clear. These results don't need private information. It's been published in magazines, in newspapers, especially the magazines which discuss strategic matters in conferences and in forums. However, we are people who are always accused that we never read. This was what happened before. All the studies and opinion polls show the following conclusions or results, that the high majority of our Arab and Islamic people are against the American policies and reject these American policies. This does not mean we are enemies of the American people. Maybe as time passes, we will find out that the majority of the American people are people who don't know what is going on in this world. And their concerns and their priorities are different. The high majority of our people are against the American policies for very clear reasons and for many different reasons. America's total backing for Israel and its backing for Israeli wars ever since the Israeli entity was established. Until the last war, of course, was the war on Gaza, 2008. We also saw before that the war on Lebanon, 2006. In addition, America's backing for dictatorships and corrupt regimes in the region who are on alliance with America. And also America's wars and its crimes in Iraq and in Afghanistan and in Pakistan and elsewhere in our Arab and Islamic world. The discovery of America's lies and America's double standards standards in everything, in all matters, when it comes to human rights, when it comes to freedom, when it comes to democracy. And it has also been shown, these studies actually have shown, and these opinion polls have shown, that there are big changes which are coming up in the region. And this is what Hillary Clinton said just a few weeks ago. And the Americans were sure that those regimes who are allies with them, those regimes who are also collaborating with Israel in the region, those regimes who are against the will of the people when it comes to the sense towards Israel and America, will not be able to continue a long time when they face the will of the people. The will of the people is sick of all this reality. And the opinion polls and the studies have also shown that these regimes and the leaders of these regimes and the symbols of these regimes don't have any popularity, nor do they have any respect or value amongst their people. At the same time, the opinion polls presented or showed that other figures, other leaders, occupy first or second or third place because of their stances, because of the stances of these leaders or these presidents regarding the Israeli-Palestinian cause and the Israeli-Palestinian issue and the American project. And so the American administration expressed its anxiety because the opinion polls revealed all of these very important points. This does not mean that the Americans are planning to overthrow a regime which serves it. However, it's preparing itself for what could happen. If people move and try to express their rejection of a regime in a certain country, the American administration would then stand in the middle, taking advantage of its experience in the Islamic Revolution of Iran, taking advantage of its previous experiences. It will not go in support of the oppression and the bloody confrontation, because America believes that the result of the bloody confrontation with the people will be catastrophic for America and its allies and its agents and its servants, its old servants and its new servants as well. So for this reason, America is standing in the middle ground. It's trying to present itself in a different way. It's trying to present itself as a protector of the people and the choice of the people, and is trying to guarantee some kind of transition of power, a transition of power to an authority or to a leadership which preserves its relationship and its alliance and the American project and the American interest. And here I must repeat some words which were courageous words. What concerns the American regime in the region is its interest and the Israeli interest. It doesn't matter who is in power. It can abandon anyone who is in power. America can abandon anyone who is in power. The person in power is not important, whether he be Islamic. Nobody speak about this issue, Islamic, no. The Americans don't have a veto against anyone, whether he be Islamic or from an Islamic movement or a leftist or a right-wing person or a nationalist or a secular person or a religious cleric, whether he be a sheikh, whether he be a sayyid, whether he be a Christian figure, Christian religious figure, no. This doesn't concern America. America is not concerned with the ideological stance of a leader. What is most important of all is the stance which this leadership has. Does this person or does this regime, is this regime committed to America's interests and Israeli interests? If it is, there's no problem, whatever be the ideology of this leadership or of this figure. The most important is its stance towards Israeli and American interests. Now, I would like to conclude this to say, we must speak here, speak highly about the Egyptian revolution, and nobody, it's unacceptable that anyone try and that anyone be tricked by the American stance. Nobody can say because the Americans are standing in the middle that they are behind these popular movements. Number five, we must show, and the people of Egypt and the youngsters of Egypt must be sure that this revolution, this popular revolution, will have a huge impact on the equation in the world and in the region. Over the past few days, this has become the number one international event for the superpowers, for the countries of a region, for the world popular opinion, for the world public opinion. It is enough for the people of Egypt and for the martyrs of Egypt to witness this great confusion, the great confusion of the administration of the only remaining superpower in the world and its Western allies, the frustration towards how to understand this revolution and how to deal with it. And what is most important of all for us in Lebanon and in Palestine and in Syria is the Israeli issue. Look at the impact of 14 days of protest. Look at how these 14 days of these peaceful protests, look at how they have impacted Israel. Israel is in a state of fear. It's in a real state of fear. It's terrorized. It's very anxious, very concerned. There are calls for revising strategically the situation. And I don't want to describe the regime which the people are confronting today, the Mubarak regime. I don't want to describe it. I want to tell you what the Israelis say regarding this regime. What they all say, there is no disagreement in Israel regarding how to evaluate the regime of Hosni Mubarak and what this regime did, the strategic services it did for Israel ever since Camp David until today. And listen when they speak about the stance occupied by Egypt when it comes to Israeli national security. And today we heard calls to reconsider the strategy of Israeli national even tailed level. Netanyahu quickly called for building the electronic fence on the border with Egypt. And there are also calls to take control once again of the border between Egypt and the Gaza Strip. There are calls to form military groups, military contingencies or divisions which were dissolved after Camp David. Israel is very, very anxiously talking about how it will lose the last strong strategic ally it has in the region after it lost the Shah in Iran in 1979 and after it lost to a high extent Turkey after its wars on Gaza and Lebanon and its policies of killing and the murders it committed on the Gaza aid flotilla. Today Israel is beating its heart. Today Israel is very anxious and concerned when it speaks about the last remaining strong ally for it in the region. There is Israeli consensus on protecting this regime and protecting the head of this regime, and there is also clear Israeli agreement, and the Israelis are also trying to push the Americans to take a new stance. The Israelis very clearly said and announced that those who are protecting Israel in the region are the dictatorships and not the democratic regimes. This is what Israel said very clearly. And they told the Americans, what are you doing to us? You are playing a very dangerous game, a dangerous game which could target the actual existence of Israel. This is what the Israelis told the Americans. They told them, this is a dangerous game you're playing. Today, my dear brothers and sisters, we are witnessing a very clear scenario. And we display this scenario to the people of the Islamic and Arab Ummah. Before I speak in conclusion to the Egyptian people and to the Egyptian youngsters, we have an order or a regime which Israel, all of Israel, in consensus and day and night, Israel is exerting its efforts and it's putting pressure on all political circles in the world to protect this regime and to defend it and to preserve it. This is part of the scenario. This is what Israel's doing. There is a regime whom the people want to ouster, and these people have filled the squares and they have sacrificed with hundreds of martyrs and thousands of people who were wounded. The question today is, the question to the religious clerics in all of the Islamic and Arab world, the question to the religious clerics, the question to the religious schools, the question to the intellectuals, to the prominent figures in all different areas, to the Arab and Islamic people, to the freedom-loving people, to the honorable people, the question is, On which side of the equation should you stand? Should you stand on Israel's side, which defends the regime, or on the side of the Egyptian people? Today, any appropriate approach towards the current the land of Canaan in Egypt, this is the appropriate approach to compare or on that side, the religious leaders, the religious figures, and I'd like to tell all those who believe in Judgment Day, tomorrow God will ask us about the stance which we took in this historic time, and punishment will be great punishment. Accountability will be high, because it's not about the blood of one man, nor is it about the fate of one woman, nor is it about a child whose bones were crushed, nor is it about a loaf of bread which was stolen from the mouth of a poor person. It is the cause of a people. It's the destiny of an ummah. It's about sanctity. It's about the future. It's about history. Those who stand in the middle ground, or who stand with Israel in defending the regime, they will be held accountable for all the results which will happen, all the results which we will witness in decades, if this revolution is overthrown, may God forbid. And for those who stand with the people, in support of the cause of the people, they will be rewarded by God, because they are standing, they are taking a historic stance which will lay the foundations for generations to come. And I'd like to tell all those who believe in human dignity, in human freedom, in justice, in human justice, who believe in conscience, I'd like to tell them, you must also make your decision in support of these people, in support of these youngsters. Now to the Egyptian people and to the youngsters of Egypt especially, I would like to say, we will not intervene in your internal affairs. You decide what you will do. You decide how you will move. You decide what you will accept, what you will reject. However, as people who love you, as your brothers, as your friends, we want to express to you our faith. We would like to express to you our feelings and our aspirations. What you are doing is great, is really great. This is what we believe. What you are doing is really great. And what you are doing is a very important point in the history of this ummah and the region. Your movement, your victory will change the face of our region, will totally change the face of their region, and it will, and in this way it will serve the people of the region, especially the people in Palestine. It will change the region in favor of the people. You are the war of Arab dignity. You are retrieving today with your voices, with your blood, with your steadfastness in the fields and in the squares. You are retrieving the dignity of the Arab person, this dignity which was humiliated and insulted by some rulers of the Arab world for decades, because these rulers and were defeated. What you have done until today is no less important than the perseverance, than the historic perseverance which we saw by the Lebanese resistance in the July 2006 war. It is no less important than the perseverance shown by the Palestinians in the Gaza war 2008. Of Egypt, in your faces, in the faces of, we see the faces. And be here abounded, and in your person we see the perseverance of the resistance fighters, the heroic resistance fighters, encountered all of the dangers and wars and threats. To the people of the youngsters of Egypt, I say, people today, their hopes on you, they're pinning their hope on your perseverance. a victory, said Egypt is mother of the world. This is right, as you, the crowd out there, who the will and the and with their faith, you can otherwise, how could Egypt be called the mother of the world? We are sure, and you also are sure, you are confident. We are confident, we believe in your great capability about change. Forward to the day where you retrieve Egypt, its leadership stance, its historic leadership stance, its historic leadership position, the Ummah and in the region. All my brothers, all my sisters, to all the youngsters of Egypt, from far away, from Beirut, I say to you, in the I wish we could be with you in Square. And area and this mass and in Egyptian cities amongst the crowds, and God witness, I wish I could be thrice my blood monster in Egypt for the sake of achieving these. Today, Hezbollah in Lebanon, in the name of the resistance, in the name of all factions of the Islamic and national Lebanese resistance, and in the name of all of the political parties and Lebanese political factions and Islamic factions, and in the name of all those who have gathered here today in front of me, we put all our capabilities at the service of the Egyptian people and the youngsters of Egypt. And we all pray and we are all hopeful that God bring about victory for you, and that God keep you, maintain your perseverance, and that God help all those oppressed. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, what you just saw was a speech delivered by Hezbollah Secretary General in Beirut, Sayed Hassan Nasrallah. I'll give you a gist of what he said in a couple of minutes. He announced solidarity with the historic popular movement in Egypt. He mentioned a few points, 5 points actually, in a nutshell. Presence of the youths in the Egyptian revolution is highly important. This revolution is the result of the Egyptian people's determination for change. Social justice is one main reason behind the revolution. That's not only the issue of bread trade. That's being actually reflected by the Western media. It's actually regime policies and corruption that people are also protesting. He said that everyone is duty-bound to express solidarity with the Egyptian revolution. Some accusations that have been leveled to the effect that American intelligence machine is behind this popular uprising, which is unjust and an insult to the Egyptian people. He said, how can America overthrow a regime that is totally serving its interests? They try to pretend that they defend the rights of the people, whereas America supported this great dictatorship. And also said Egyptians must know that the revolution will have a huge impact both on the region and on the international arena. He said that Israel is highly concerned, anxious and terrorized by this, and that Israel expressly says that Iran, that because it lost Iran's support after the 1979 Islamic Revolution, it has also lost Turkey's back to a great extent. It's now highly terrorized to lose the Egyptian support for it. It says regional dictators are supporting it, not democratic states. This is what Israel has said, clearly says. And he raised a question for all Islamic scholars and people as to whose idea to side with now. He said that we will not interfere, and it is the Egyptian people who should decide the course of the revolution. He said that, addressing the Egyptian people, he said that you are recovering the dignity of all Arab nation. and that we wish you success. That's the gist of Sayyidah Sunnah Nasrullah's speech delivered in Beirut just a few minutes ago. Now, back to normal course of our programming. Well, continuing with our news edition, Egypt and day 14 of popular demonstrations against President Hosni Mubarak's three-decade rule. People from all walks of life are flooding into Cairo's central square. Many protesters spent a night at the square despite heavy military presence. On Sunday, millions of Egyptians were out on the streets in the capital and other major cities to honor hundreds of their countrymen killed during the anti-government demos. Hostility toward the United States is widespread among the protesters as they hold Washington responsible for Mubarak's grip on power. The demonstrators say they won't leave the streets until the president steps down.
Hundreds have been killed in wake of the Egyptian revolution. Some of their faces on display on the front pages of the independent newspapers.
Those who have been unjust will face what they deserve, whether in Egypt or outside Egypt.
Medan Tahrir has been transformed into the square of martyrs. Prayers and vigils were held in their honor. Muslim prayers mixed with the Christian mass to commemorate the fallen. But here in the epicenter of the revolution, the people are in charge. Civilian security is maintained 24 hours a day as Egyptians from all over the country donate goods to the revolution. Their resilience stems from their ultimate goal, to remove the man they call dictator.
They shot my brother 5 days ago, and the bullet is still in his leg. Still dressed in blood-stained clothes, he came here. I'm here with my son and three daughters, and we will stay 1 million years if we have to, until Mubarak leaves.
The Day of Martyrs was also marked as a day of victory. This band from Upper Egypt performed country songs as this couple was married in the heart of the revolution. As the day progressed, word came in opposition groups met with the new Vice President Omar Suleiman. Among the opposition meeting, the Muslim Brotherhood. But representatives say they will not compromise on the demands of the people.
The conditions of our demands are the conditions of the demonstrators. Reform in Egypt begins with the departure of President Mubarak and transferring the authority from Mubarak to whoever will assume this responsibility after him. Only then we will have legal and constitutional reforms.
The sun sets in Cairo, marking the 13th consecutive day of the national uprising.
As the Egyptian people mourn those killed by the Mubarak regime and honor